There was a father who had a 3-year-old daughter who was having trouble sleeping throughout the night. She'd often wake up several times in the night because she was so afraid. And each time, as the dad would retuck her into bed, he would remind her that Jesus was with her and that he would keep her safe. So several nights in a row, she did this over and over and over and over again. And finally, one night, the dad looked at her and asked her if she had prayed to Jesus to take her fear away and to help her to fall asleep. "Well, oh yes," she assured him, "I've prayed to Jesus, and he told me to come and to get you." As dads, we always have, as we have little ones, they come and they ask questions. I'm in that stage with all four of my boys where the questions never seem to end. They just have question after question after question, and we as Christian dads need the right wisdom to be able to answer the tough questions that our kids are asking as we grow and see this culture around us changing daily. Perhaps you're here on Father's Day, dads, and you still have children calling on you for help. I want us this morning to go to the one place in the Bible where we see the collected wisdom of a dad for his sons. And if you have your Bibles open, I hope you'll open them with me up to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs began as a wish from Solomon to collect and compile wisdom for his children. It was a dad wanting to place into the hands of his children great wisdom from God so that they would make wise decisions. It's an amazing book in the Bible, and it's one that usually, other than Psalms, it's one that a lot of people will spend daily time reading through. It's arranged such that we can do that very simply. Proverbs is in 31 chapters, so if you're ever in a bind and don't know where in the Bible you should read, just look to a calendar. Whatever day of the month it is, there's no month with more than 31 days, take whatever day that is and then read that chapter of the Proverbs. You're guaranteed to find something that's going to address right where you are. Proverbs aren't promises. I wish that they were promises, but they are really more principles for living. And principles are going to happen most all of the time, but not all the time. Promises in the Bible happen all the time. These are godly principles for living. I wish that they always came true. And the one example I would give, even on Father's Day, is train up your children in the way they should walk, and in the end, they will not depart from it. That is a principle. As we raise up our children and pour into them and teach them about Jesus, we hope that they will follow Christ and grow in this world with Jesus. But that doesn't happen all the time, and I think we all know families where the parents did all they could to raise their children right and to pour into their kids the love of Christ, and they have strayed away from that path. And so I wish it was a promise, but these are principles that we have from God's Word. As we read these things, though, these principles guide us and they help us out. Where if we apply these principles, we will find success. We will find great success in life. I call them the consumer reports of the Bible. Whenever you read and study consumer reports, you find articles in consumer reports where they've taken brand studies and they've taken items from various brands and they've tested them and they show you which ones hold true and firm. Where if you trust on Consumer Reports and invest in what they suggest to invest in, it's usually an excellent investment. These are proven principles of the Bible that have proven true, where if you lean into them and take them into your lives, they will hold true for you and be trustworthy promises or principles to guide you. Let's look in chapter 2 as Solomon is writing here. Most all of Proverbs is from Solomon. When you get into chapter 25, King Hezekiah, who came 300 years after Solomon, compiled what you read there. But we are now in Solomon's words. Let's dive into verse 1. "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, listening closely to wisdom and to directing your heart to understanding. Furthermore, if you call out to insight and lift your voice to understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up success for the upright. He is a shield for those who live with integrity, so that he may guard the paths of justice and protect the way of his loyal followers. Then you will understand righteousness, justice, and integrity, every good path. For wisdom will enter your mind, and knowledge will delight in your heart, or delight your heart. Discretion will watch over you, and understanding will guard you. rescuing you from the way of evil. What we have happening in this chapter is we have a father commending and directing his sons to seek wisdom. And this is what godly fathers will do for sons. The influence of a godly father is you and I, dads, are seeking to follow the Lord and raise up our children to know Jesus Christ. One of the things that we're going to direct our children to do is to seek wisdom. To seek wisdom. And I'm thankful that wisdom is found from God. As we study the Bible, we see it in James 1:5. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach. He upbraideth not, depending on your translation. God generously grants wisdom for those who ask it. And you have not because you ask not. And so as dads and moms, especially, we're not just to teach our kids all of the wisdom. We're to point them to the source of true wisdom and to point them to Jesus. And to say, as you lack wisdom and I lack wisdom, we go to the same source together and seek it from God. The Bible tells us in Proverbs and elsewhere that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To fear God, it just means to concern yourself with God's opinions on all things. It means to go through life with this reverence, this awe of God, and to wonder, what would God think about this decision? What would God think about this? That's what it means to fear him, to respect him. It's to think through how God sees things. And you and I, as we read these Proverbs, we learn how to fear God and how we spend our money and how we choose what we do with our time. This book directs us and guides us. And so we have to seek wisdom. I like what Mark Twain wrote many years ago. He said, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to the age of 21, I was astonished at how much the old man learned in 7 years. Some wisdom in that. Our dads have wisdoms. I know wisdom. I know many of us, as we went through our teenage years, couldn't stand to be around our parents. But how we lean on them and how some of us in this room miss them today because they're not here for us to call out and seek wisdom from them. If you are lacking wisdom, look at verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. How much are you on your knees saying, God, give me the wisdom for this situation? And how much are you seeking that wisdom from the Lord? As we keep moving through this text, if you go down, let's look at verse 5 again. We'll pick it up from there. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up success for the upright. And he is a shield for those who live in integrity, so that he may guard the paths of justice, protect the way of his loyal followers. Look at what happens when God gives wisdom. Verse 9 takes place. God gives us understanding, and he helps us to understand righteousness. And we're in a day, church, where people are taking things that are sinful and evil and calling them good, and taking things that are good and holy and calling them bad and sinful. But as we grow in our walk with God, he helps us to see what's truly righteous. And his word reveals truth to us as he gives us his wisdom. We understand justice. And we see the injustice happening in our day when so many are living in fear, even because of just the color of their own skin. Our nation still needs correct justice. We see these things. We see integrity. We see every good path. God, as we seek wisdom for him, opens up for us the clear path. He shows us his will. Now, I've studied the will of God over the years, and this is something that my wife and I heard this week that just struck me. You know, when you study the Bible and study the will of God, if you ever look into that, the Bible doesn't really concern itself about the will of God, about what job you and I are to have or who we're to marry. It tells us who we are to be as the will of God. It says, the will of God is that you be thankful. The will of God is that you be holy. And what I've learned and been challenged with this week is that if you are living out the will of God, seeking holiness, seeking his path, being thankful, he will reveal his direct will of God. He will reveal his direct will. We have to live and become the will of God to see his will happen. And so he shows us those things as we turn to him and seek him. Verse 10, wisdom will enter your mind, and knowledge will delight your heart. Discretion will watch over you, and understanding will guard you. These are trying days where we need this wisdom from God to lead our families through. And so verses 5 through 11, this is what godly fathers will do. They will help children to see the world through God's eyes. That's what you and I want to see happen with our children. We want them to see the world with this Christian worldview through the lens of the Bible. and through God's eyes. And so yesterday morning, as I was just milling over the events of this week, thinking through the news, we were having breakfast together as a family, and I saw, we have a Bible that sits near our table, and I saw it, and it was just kind of speaking to me, just to open it up. I've been reading in 1 John, and felt led just to take my kids on a study through 1 John, just to begin that. So we grabbed the Bible off the shelf, I began to walk through it, and right there in 1 John, the first few verses, John is talking about how he was an eyewitness of Jesus. And he says, I'm writing this to you so that you may have fellowship with us and so that your joy might be full. John wants us to join in that joy, that love that's available through Jesus Christ. But I took that word fellowship and I asked my boys, I said, what does the word fellowship mean? What does that word mean? They didn't know. And this is what that word means. It means to enjoy things that you share in common with other people. And I asked my sons, I said, what's the one thing we share in common with everyone we go to church with? My boys said, Jesus. We share Jesus. And so I began to use that word and say, do you realize then that we go to church, we have Jesus, and everybody at our church hopefully has and knows the Lord Jesus. They're our family in Christ. They're our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I began to talk to my boys about how we have a closer kinship with each other in Jesus. And I've said this many times. This is true for me. I have a closer kinship with you in this room who know Jesus than members of my own family who do not. I feel a closer unity and union with you than I do members of my family that I gather with, and they don't even know the Lord. And I miss that. When I'm away from this church, boy, I miss that. But I began to bring up with my own kids what happened in Charleston. And I told my boys, I said, this is sinful, this is wrong. I explained to my boys what I believe in my heart. This nation does not have a skin problem. This nation has a sin problem. This nation needs Jesus, and we, the church, are the only group in the nation that gets it, that has figured out how to overcome these racial lines that divide our country. It's through Jesus Christ, a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. And I began to show my own boys, I began to talk about the sin of racism. And this is the first discussion we've ever had on this, where I told my boys, do you realize there are people in our nation that hate other people just because of the way God made them? I remember asking them, hey, if someone is making fun of someone for the color of skin they have, who are they really making fun of? And Gabriel said, they're making fun of God, Dad. They're making fun of God. And he got it right. My boys are learning these things. I'm wanting them to see the world through God's eyes. And so as we're working through Scripture together, I'm helping to bring those things out that are happening on a national level. Dads, we have to do this. We have to take the initiative. If we're sitting with our children and the news comes on and it's something that we know God's word speaks about, we've got to speak up. We've got to instruct our children so that they see the worldview, the Christian worldview that the Bible gives us. We have the greatest answer for the ills of our culture and society. We have it in Jesus Christ. He's the answer. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And we have been too quiet, we've been too cowardly to speak up to a world that desperately needs Jesus Christ. And so we've got to speak up. We've got to mention these things. You know, we have a nation that is so confused right now, thinking that whatever's going to happen at the end of the month is going to give them the true freedom. They can finally enjoy the joys of marriage and go down this path they've been wanting to go down, when we know God's word says otherwise, that it's only in Christ that a person is truly free. And while our brothers and sisters are going in peril and in danger, which God's word forbids and says this will lead to hell, in love we have to speak the truth. We have to speak up and mention this is what the word of God says. But if you'll repent and turn from your sins, just like I had to repent and turn from my sins, he'll save you. He'll have mercy on you just as he had mercy on me. This nation desperately needs it. And we've been too quiet. We've got to speak up. We've got to help our children see the world through God's eyes. God gives knowledge and understanding and perspective. God helps us to understand these paths of righteousness, justice, equity, every single good path. And there is no other source to it but the Lord. And God's wisdom guards and protects us. I'm thankful for all these words that come into the Bible. All these things we take in through our eyes affects what we see. My mom always said, garbage in, garbage out. I fear for the young boys of our nation. I was reading up on this young boy that went into that church this week and just thinking through what kind of life he had been exposed to. We have young boys in our culture today addicted to pornography, constantly exposed to smut. And that affects how they are seeing their brothers and sisters in Christ. It affects how they're seeing everything. And I'm thankful for the wisdom of the Bible. Psalm 101, verse 3 says, I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless, and I will hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. I want to raise my kids to see the world the way God sees the world. We've got to guard their hearts. We've got to protect what they are seeing and guard that. Let's move along, though. Let's look at verse 12 and continue on. It says, it will rescue you from the way of evil. When God speaks wisdom, it rescues us from the way of evil, from the one who says perverse things, from those who abandon the right paths to walk in ways of darkness, and from those who enjoy doing evil and celebrate perversion. Those whose paths are crooked, those whose ways are devious. It will rescue you from a forbidden woman, from a stranger with her flattering talk, who abandons the companion of her youth, her husband, forgets the covenant of marriage of her God, for her health sinks down to death, her ways to the land of the departed spirits. None return who go to her, and none reach the paths of life. And so you see, this is a godly father here in Proverbs 2, directing his children, steering them away from very harmful relationships. Godly fathers will help us to survive harmful relationships in these passages. He's steering his children away from perverted people there in verses 12 through 15. And you can find perversion. It's more accessible than it's ever been for all of us. It's on the radio waves. It's in our cell phones. It's out there. Anyone can fall into perversion and follow the perverted paths that are laid out in our culture. But a godly father helps a son to see this is trouble, a daughter to see this is going to ruin you. If you go down that path, son, it will not bring life to you. And so we see this delivery from perverted people happening. We also see in verse 16 the delivery from the adulteress. Wisdom will rescue you from a forbidden woman, from a stranger with her flattering talk. You can read more about this, young men in the room, in chapters 5 and chapter 7 of Proverbs. I would encourage you to go home today and read those chapters. You would be amazed how relevant they are to the culture we're in. But everything in our culture is saying to young men, pornography is okay, it's acceptable. It's something that's just a part of life, and it's not true. It's an adulteress, and it will take your life from you and rob you of true love that God has designed. It says there in verse 17 that you will abandon, this woman abandons the companion of her youth, her husband, forgets the covenant of her God, her house sinks down to death. Her ways to the land of the departed spirits. Anyone who goes down that path seeking fulfillment and pleasure, it kills them. The thief has come only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Christ said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. This is that path, that wide path that leads to destruction that so many are on. And even in this room, I know there are some right now. That maybe in the workplace, maybe someone's giving you a little more attention lately. And even though you're married, in your heart, you're coveting that time with that person, and you are entertaining in your heart an adulterous affair. I pray for you that you would see that situation with the wisdom of God this morning, and that you would wake up and step away from that snare that will ruin you and step into life through God. Let God lead you to life. And this is where the text takes us. It leads us to life. Look at verse 20. So follow the way of good people. Keep to the paths of the righteous, for the upright will inhabit the land, and those of integrity will remain in it. We see that this father is warning his sons to be saved and not to follow into destruction. You know, church, I can remember years ago, I went to Promise Keepers. My dad and I were able to go to the big stadium events. You remember those where the men would gather in the stadium and we would sing these songs and hear sermons? I remember I went, and one year, I believe it was in Jacksonville, Florida, Dennis Rainey, he's the founder of Family Life, he came in and spoke, and he gave this great sermon about dads protecting their children from traps of this world. Dennis Rainey had invested in all of these bear traps, and he brought them out on stage, and they were pretty awesome. He stuck this big wood stick in one, and it just snapped up, and the wood just splintered everywhere. And we thought, that's pretty cool. He's got a bear trap. What's he going to do? And so he put these bear traps all over the stage. This is pretty crazy. He takes his son. He calls his son up out of the audience. His son at that time was about maybe 10 years old, about the same age as Jonah, my son Jonah. And Jonah, or his son, gets up there, and he blindfolds his son. and sets his son on one side of the stage. And then Dennis Rainey stands on the other side of the stage. He says, all right, son, you can't see what you're about to walk into, but I'm going to direct your path. I'm going to speak to you wisdom so you'll avoid the traps. And we're all just like, dude, don't do this. This is not worth it, man. Well, his son takes a first step. He's blindfolded. He can't see. And I'm telling you, there are traps all around him. Everybody in the stadium is like, what are you doing? I'm calling special services. You know, this is not going to work. His son takes one step and he says, son, stop. And then Dennis Rainey walked over the stage around those traps, put his arm around his son. And then he walked his son around those traps to the other side of the stage. And he looked at all of us and said, dads, this is what you and I are to do with our children. We're to help steer our children away from things that are going to destroy them. We have to speak into our children and warn them of these traps. What a great picture. What a great vivid picture. That's exactly what we see in this text here. Stay away from these people. These people will ruin you. That woman is a trap. These people, these perverse people, it's a trap. They're telling you that what God's word says is a sin. They're telling you that it's okay. It's acceptable. It's not. It's a sin. You need to follow the path that will lead to life. And so as you end this chapter, it ends really with a picture of those who will make it to heaven. That's what it's really hinting at in verse 21. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those of integrity will remain in the land, but the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous uprooted from it. You know, my prayer for my children, dads, is that when all this world passes and melts away, that my kids will be in heaven with me. Do you realize the promise of the Bible? Everything in this world, according to 1 Peter, is going to melt away to the elements. And then God will reform a brand new heavens and a brand new earth. And all of his people, according to the word of God, the promises of Revelation and all through the Bible, all of his people will inhabit the land. And I was talking to my sons about that yesterday. I said, man, what do you like to do? Can you imagine everything we're going to do in this new habited earth? It's going to be everything we already love about this earth. But it's going to be without sin, without mosquitoes that'll bite you, without weeds, without a yard that probably needs mowing, without all these things. We're going to be able to do everything we're going to need to do. We'll bring glory to God without any hint of sin. And I looked at my boys and looked around that table. In my heart, I just said, man, I want all of them there. I want them there. I want to see and inhabit that land with the Lord forever and inhabit the land. I don't want them cut off from that. I don't. I pray that over my sons. Lord, save my sons. Convert them, work in their hearts. Let them see the glory of Christ. Dads, do you want your sons in heaven? Do you want them there? What are you doing, dads, to pour into them the gospel that will save them, the truths of Christ, so that they can remain and stay in the land and be there? Are you dropping the ball on that? Are you holding firm and praying over your sons and daughters and pouring into them daily? The gospel of Jesus Christ who saves. Jesus warned us. He said, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. We can see it in our culture, in our nation. Broad is that road. Everyone's partying and going down that road. And few there be that find eternal life in Christ. But praise God, Jesus told us clearly, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. That if you and I will turn from our sins and our wickedness and trust on him, he will have mercy on us, and he will save us, and he will forgive us. If we will confess our sins, the Bible says in 1 John, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, enabled to make us pure so that we can inhabit the land and make it to heaven, took his own son and allowed his son to be offered up for us all on the cross to be crucified. And God took all of that anger towards your sin and my sin and poured it out in full on his son Jesus. Jesus describes that he took in full that cup of the wrath of God the Father when he hung on that cross for you and for me. Do you believe it? Have you placed your faith in it? Have you trusted on it? Has it saved you? And are you seeking that for others around you? Are you seeking to draw them in to warn them of judgment so that they too can be saved? Friend, turn to Christ if you've not done so. While there's still time, call out to him to save you, that he would have mercy on you. His word promises he will not turn away any that come unto him in Jesus. And so if you'll come unto him in Christ and repent of your sins, he'll save you today. The Bible warns in Proverbs 13:20, finishing out the text, that whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. I'm amazed when I study Proverbs and Psalms, they both begin with this big concern about who you make your friends to be. You remember Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Who are you hanging with? Who are you drawing your wisdom from? Who are you seeking the answers from? And then you have in the beginning of Proverbs, be careful who you hang out and whose paths you walk down. The one relationship, dads, you and I have got to steer our kids towards is Jesus. We've got to be teaching our kids about Jesus Christ. The Bible declares in Romans 3:10 that all of us have sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But it also says, again, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're in this room today and if you have not trusted on Christ to save you from your sins, I want to invite everyone in this room right now to call out to Christ. If you've not done so and need to do so, let's all bow our heads, close our eyes. And if you're in this room today and if you would say, David, I have made a mess of things in my life, but I see now my need for Jesus and what he's done for me. And in my heart of hearts, I'm in. I'm in. I want salvation. I want not only salvation for me, but for my whole household. I pray today that God would have mercy on me, a sinner. Is there anyone in this room today that would just say, David, can you pray for me as I seek Christ? Can you pray for me that God would convert and help me to follow Jesus? Anybody, you just raise your hand. I'll pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass anyone. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? All right. Thank you. Thank you. I'm seeing hands. All right. Listen, for those who raised hands, the Bible promises whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you from your seat right now will just repent of your sins and say, God, save me, a sinner. Forgive me. I know you died on that cross, Jesus, for my sins. I ask you, please come into my life. Save me. Help me to obey you as Lord of my life. Give me the wisdom to lead my family out of destruction and into life. And help me to be saved and to lead others to salvation. Bless me. And whatever words you might pray to Christ, he'll save you right now. And we as a church would ask that if you've called out for him to save you, we would love to hand you some materials to help you grow in that relationship with him. We want to beg of you, keep coming here so that we can pour into your life. You can grow in that relationship with Jesus, and you can be a part of this community of people following Jesus. We're going to be praying for you. Father, I pray for those right now that were lifting their hands. I pray, God, you would work in their heart. Holy Spirit, convict them of their sin, their need for Jesus. May they leave here a brand new creation. As your word tells us, if any man's in Christ, he's a brand new creation. The old things have passed away. All things become new. Holy Spirit, work the miracle right now in this room of conversion in these hearts, that they would leave here changed as they trust on Christ. Lord, I pray for the fathers today. Lord, help us. We're facing cultural wars our grandfathers couldn't have dreamed of. Give us wisdom to raise up champions, warriors for you in our children, that we would be unashamed men to bend our knees to the Lordship of Jesus and to pray over the needs of our families and lead our children in discussions that point to Jesus. Bless us. Give us wisdom. And as we gather here, may we sharpen each other as we see the day approaching of your return. Father, bless the fruitfulness of this church. We're in a culture that's lost. We're in a culture that is steeped in hatred, racism. And we know Christ is the answer. Give us grace as we go to spread the gospel widely, that they too may be saved. We pray your grace over us in Jesus' name. Amen.